on this computer. All right. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name, Father. I just praise you, Father, for all that you're doing. I can't, you know, Lord, we just are so anticipating this great happening that's fixing to happen. I don't know what you're going to do, but I do know, well, I do too. I know there's going to be a great revival. I know there's going to be a great anointing upon your bride and your man-child ministry. And I know, Lord, that it's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to be separating from this apostate religion, this false Jesus that they have out there. And Lord, I just praise you and I glorify you for what you're going to do tonight. Lord, give us revelations. Show us the direction that you'd have us to go, Lord. And we just ask, Father, that you lead us and guide us in our everyday walk as well. Show us how you want. You know, people in the religious world don't understand being led by the Spirit of God. They don't understand it, and it just blows their mind that somebody would even want to do that. How do you do it? Well, Lord, we know that we just have to get in the Spirit and listen to you. And Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. And Lord, teach us how to do it more and more and more and more and more, to where we're just walking right next to you and listening to you every step of the way. I praise you, Father, for doing that for all of us. Because I know my brothers and sisters out there, they want to get that close too, Lord. And I ask and I pray for the power that you've already given us and the promises that you've given us, Lord, that we operate in all of them. And I praise you, Father, for all that you do with your bride and your man-child and your people, or your chosen people, chosen from all the walks and people of the world. And it's not because we're anything special. It's just because you chose us. And we just praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in us. In the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, that the heavens be open tonight to listen to our prayers, Lord, because I know that when the heavens are open, our prayers get answered every time. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you for being our God. And all the glory goes to you, Lord, not to any one of us, because we can't do anything without you. Can't do a thing without you, Father. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Wait a minute, let me let somebody in. See George and Ronnie. Okay. Yeah, Malcolm.
I just wanted to correct myself on the last time we were on. I was talking about the Structure of Scientific Revelation by Thomas Kuhn. That was published by Berkeley Press, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, I made it sound like he was talking about creation versus evolution, which he wasn't. He didn't say anything about creation. So I just wanted to correct myself on the recording here.
Okay.
He was just talking about, you know, paradigms, and he was talking about evolution, but not creation.
Right. Okay. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests tonight? Y'all need to pray for us. Missy's here. No, we had a good supper tonight with her over at the patio. It's an Italian restaurant, and it was good. It was good. We had a great time. And Eve's mother and dad are here too, so that's awesome. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests or testimony, praise report? Yes, sir.
I'd like to pray for my grandson, Willie. He gave his 2-week notice to the job that he was at. He works at a BP gas station convenience store, and he works usually in the evenings, and he's usually by himself. A couple of weeks ago, he had, or no, not a couple weeks ago, last week, I think it was, he had a really rough night. There was two really unruly customers that came in, two men, and being as he's by himself, kind of put him in a really scary situation. I mean, nothing happened to him or anything, and they left, but just the thought that he was, you know, here he was by himself and these two men were getting unruly. He's young. But anyway, I don't know if he knows what the Lord would have him do. I mean, he does have another part-time job, but I just pray that the Lord would direct him as to where he wants him to be, if he wants him to, where he wants him to go. He hasn't said anything lately about coming down here, but at times he would like to come down here. I don't know if he's gonna would be thinking of visiting or staying, but anyway, I just ask you, Lord Jesus, that Lord, my Father, I pray that you would just show Willie where you want him to go and show him that you are there to protect him, and that you did protect him from these unruly men, Father God, these customers. And Lord, I just pray that while he is there, he's got two more weeks to go, that you would just continue to protect him and guide him and lead him, and that you will show him where you want him to be after this job is done with, and just that he would gain you and grow in you more, and have a desire to want you more, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So apparently he's a Christian, right?
Yeah, you guys baptized him not long after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not long after I was down here. They came down. Yeah. So, yeah, he's a believer. Okay. He's spirit-filled, too. He prays in tongues.
Okay. Well, Lord, what's his name? Will?
William. Yeah, Will.
William. Okay. Lord, we lift up William to you, Father. We ask and we pray, Lord, that you give him the knowledge that he has authority over the demons that run those people. And Lord, we just thank you that when he goes in there, all he has to do is command them out and forbid them to come into that store. And Lord, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that William will be the one in charge there, not the demons. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I believe that, don't y'all? Thank you, Lord, for protecting William with just his authority that he has in you, Lord. Amen.
And yes, and help him to use that authority in the house where he stays. I mean, with my daughter, and whenever he help him to understand and see the works of the enemy, that he would put Satan under his feet and under the feet of the others in my family, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Theo.
Hey, I just wanted to ask for prayer for a very close friend of mine.
We're having trouble hearing you.
Hang on. Is that better?
Oh, much better. Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to ask for prayer for a really close friend of mine. I had an opportunity to share a little bit of the real good news with her, and recommended that she read David's book. And she was honest with me. She said she started it, but she generally has trouble getting through any sort of book when it comes to reading. The only thing she's ever had luck with, as she says, is the Bible. And she truly is seeking the Lord. She tells me of her struggles all the time. And of all the female friends I've had an opportunity to speak to on biblical topics, she's probably the only one that actually knows scriptures. I can't say the same for even my own sisters. And so I just want to ask for prayer for her so that the Lord would open up to her and give her give her something to be able to read David's teachings, because she's willing. She said, you know what, I probably just need to pray about this and approach it with more prayer. And so she's got an open heart toward it. It's just the Lord needs to set her on fire, because he's done it for me, and I'd love for the Lord to do it for her, because I know she'd eat it up like I did. And so her name is Alvina. If you could pray for her.
Sure.
That would be wonderful.
What's her name?
Alvina.
Alvino?
Yep.
Hey, I got it right. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Lord, we lift up Albina to you. She's one of yours, Lord. You know her. And Lord, we ask and we pray that you put a deep hunger in her heart to read that book, whatever, did I forget which one you said, Real Good News, I think. And Lord, that she would open up that book and the first words would just jump out at her, Lord, and grab her and pull her into the word, because that's what it is. It's got a lot of word in it. And Father, we thank you for doing that for Albina. And Lord, when she gets through, she's going to call Lana and say, man, this is awesome word from God. And Lord, we thank you for that, and that her faith will be built up in such that she'll just devour that book, go after Sovereign God, go after How Shall We Die, and all of them, Lord, and Hidden Mind, all of them, Lord. And we thank you for doing that for Albina. And she'll be a word woman. She knows the word. And Father, we thank you for that. And not only that, she'll have the power to be an intercessor, a great, powerful intercessor, because she'll know the promises. She'll know her power. She'll know the authority that God has given her in the spiritual realm. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for doing this for Albina, in Jesus' name. Everybody agree? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, that's done. All right. Yeah, Julie.
Hey, Lana, is Albina, is she spirit-filled?
Sorry. Yeah, we used to go to the same church together, and now that I've married and moved away, she's okay. One of the only people I've kept touch with, and usually when we're on the phone, we're always talking about scriptures and things in our life that relate to it. And she's struggling. She's struggling in this whole religious system, but she sees beyond it. She just doesn't have the right teachings to guide her. And so, but she's thirsting for it. She really is.
Thank you, Father. I would like to pray for her too. Heavenly Father, I lift up Albina to you, Lord, and I thank you for her. I thank you, Lord, for her heart and her desire for you. She needs to come out from among them and be separate. And I pray that you will lead her and guide her to do that, Father. You will show her by the Holy Spirit to do that, and that you will be a father to her, and she will be your daughter, and that you will live in her and move in her and have your being in her in even a more powerful way. And I command every hindrance that's hindering her from wanting, whatever is lying to her and say that she can't, or she doesn't want to read through any book, or whatever spirit is hindering her, I command you to leave her now in the name of Jesus. You loose your hold from her. And Father, I pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon her and a refreshing, and that she is hungering and thirsting for you, Lord, but she's starving where she is. And I pray that you will show her that in some tangible way, Lord, that she will know that she needs you and she needs to come out, that she's not growing where she is. And you know how to reach her, Lord. So I just thank you that you're going to do that. And I thank you, Lord, that once she gets into the book, she's not going to be able to put it down. And I agree with everything that Michael has prayed. And I thank you, Lord, that it is finished. And we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Claire, did you want to say something? I saw you had your hand raised up a while ago.
I did. When you were praying for us at the start, I had this idea in my, this idea came up that if you could pray for us to walk authentically in the world, and I don't mean it in a, and I'm just going to say it directly, I don't mean it in one of those preachy sort of be the light and be the salt things. Like I don't even know what that means anymore. Like the way the church has corrupted that little saying, I struggle so much to be authentically, or I don't struggle with it. So it's not something I want to pray for myself for, but I want us as a corporate body to be walking in a way that is so different to the other Christians that are walking maybe by works or, you know, by half truths or whatever. Now we'd just like us to pray for our body to be, the light is so bright that they won't be able to not see it, but I don't want it to be works. I don't want it to be me baking cakes for my community or me offering to look after people's children because they, you know, oh, then you can have an hour to be with the Lord. I don't want that. I want it to be something completely supernatural, because that's what I believe for.
Well, the Lord tells us that we are a lamp and a light to the world. And Lord, that's what I pray right now, that you will show people around us your light, Lord. And they're going to ask us, what is it about you? What is it that makes you like you are? And you're going to be able to open the door. God will open that door. And you'll be able to explain to them. Well, I'm running after the Lord with all my heart. I'm running after Jesus. I'm walking in his steps. I'm asking the Lord to guide me into his way supernaturally. Mm-hmm. And I want that you should have this too, you know. Something like that, Lord, and I thank you for it, Father. Lord, I ask that you give us wisdom to speak to those that are following a false Jesus, the wisdom and the words that would change their outlook, not something that's going to hammer them, not something that's going to put law on them, but a loving word that would change them to seek after you in a mighty way, Lord. Place that in us, Lord. Give that anointing to us to be a light up on top of the table that the whole world would see and want a part of it. Father, put that love in our heart. Draw our hearts in together with that golden thread into one accord with you, and that we would be able to evangelize those that you choose for us to do that with, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? Go right ahead. And don't anybody get in condemnation, please, because we're all on this same road. We're not in the same place. You know, some of y'all are probably a whole lot higher than I am, and that's okay. I ain't got a problem with that, and you shouldn't either. Just walk like Jesus wants you to walk. That's all we want. That's all God wants is you to. You've got your own salvation to work out, you know, and we got this own, our own walk. Look, some of us stumble. Don't get under condemnation. That'll steal your faith. Don't get under fear. That'll steal your faith. Just do what you know to do. And that's all you need to do. And I guarantee you that the light will shine forth from you and people will ask you about it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. Man, I feel better all over than I do anywhere else. Thank you, Jesus. Figure that one out. Go ahead, Will. Let me get Will right. You're on, buddy.
Amazing thing happened to me on Saturday evening. We were claiming and praising the Lord for a victory for Ronnie, and the Lord gave me something very precious. It was like faith vision, if you can put it like that. I remember David was talking about the power of your imagination. Mm-hmm. And it was like the Lord was saying, telling me, let's say you're praying for a loved one to come into the kingdom, or that's been persecuting you, and your phone rings right now at this moment, and that person's on the phone apologizing and has had a born again experience, the joy that you'd feel, you know, putting yourself there, then the Lord sort of told me, you must go there. There is where you should be, going to that space. Ask me to take you there with your imagination. You must go into that faith realm. It was just a whole new experience for me, and it was awesome to just see how your imagination and faith can grow. And it can become very powerful, but it becomes so real. You know, if you can go there in that room where it's already there, you know, in your mind, it was an awesome experience. I just want to thank the Lord for that. It was a great moment and a great gift for me. And there's another short thing that I want to share if there's time.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know. I think it's applicable to all of us in this time with a lot of our family members going down financially. I guess they are going to come to us, you know, if they're drowning, they're going to come and climb onto us, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And it's already sort of happening with my sister. My sister, a year ago, I think she stopped working and she paid out a whole pension, to pay off all her and her husband's debt, to make it possible for her to be a stay-at-home mom. So she cleared all their debt to be able to do that. With the corona, her mother-in-law and father-in-law, they had like a courier business into the Kruger National Park and then out, running supplies, and they lost their job, and they've got I don't know how much debt it is. I don't know if it's a big amount, but it sounds like it's big enough. I didn't ask. I should have, maybe, to get a clear idea of what they're facing. But now they they asked and approached my sister's husband and his brother if they wouldn't mind taking the debt on, if they can take their debt, her mother-in-law and father-in-law, if they can take their debt and put it on Conrad and his brother so they can keep the house. So, yeah, that was a bit of a big, a tall order. My sister worked it out if there was if they made life changes, you know, life changes. If they put off the DSTV and etc., they would be able to all survive without moving the debt. So yeah, my sister is now in a big situation. She asked for prayer, and she asked that I share this with you guys. And I guess that's sort of the thing that we're all going to face down the line. We're going to have struggling family members, and they are going to come knocking. And it's going to be interesting to know what we should do, especially if you're able to help them, and they know that they are going to come asking. And if you should share what Jenny told me today, she said the thing is, if we help them, they're not going to learn the lesson. Unless we also, you know what I'm saying, they're not going to learn the lessons they needed to learn. But yeah, I don't know. It's a difficult one. Also, if you've got a spare coat, you must hand it out. So it's, I don't know. So my sister wants, whilst what we want to sort of ask is, should she be submissive to tell her husband to accept that debt, or should she say they can't do that? We're not sure. That's that. And also prayer for her and her husband, and also for her husband to have the wisdom to know what to do.
Okay, that's kind of complicated there a little bit, but here's probably what I would do. And that's all I can tell you. And the word says we're not to be in debt, you know. So what I would do is ask them to repent from being in debt. And then you pray and ask God to take care of it. And then sit back and rest and watch God do it. And what? if they feel that the Holy that God wants them to help, that's fine. But they have to repent first. That's what I would think. Now, are these Christians we're talking about, Will?
You know what, Michael, my sister and I had this discussion today. I've got sort of a fear of sharing too much on this forum because it's open. Okay. You know, it's open. People can download whenever they want. So sure, I don't know if it's accurate. You know, my sister said, share the stuff. They need the details so they can pray for me. And I was like, I'll say it without saying it. But then she said, no, say it all. And then I see that some of the guys do share very personal information that would offend an unbeliever that would maybe by accident get hold of this stuff. But then again, God is sovereign. And I don't think I should be afraid at times, especially if this can bring crucial, I haven't got any clarity. What do you think? Should I just share what you've asked me? Is it safe?
Well, you know better than I do, but here's the thing. If her husband he's the authority in the house, and he needs to seek the Lord, find out what the Lord wants him to do. And then whatever he decides, she'll have to fall in line with it, you know?
What I was hoping for is he's the only one, his brother is also, apparently his brother's also got quite a big, I think he's got the biggest amount of debt. What I would prefer is if his parents would give him the house, put it on his name, and then they handle their own debt and deal with their own debt that they made. And so if anything goes wrong or what, then they won't lose their house, you know what I'm saying? Okay, and they won't put any debt on him. That would be my advice, but yeah. I don't know.
I didn't know
he's
that
got a relationship with the Lord, so let's. Yeah, that would be my. But I don't know why they don't want to do it like that. They want to keep the house and put the debt on their sons. My sister is concerned, you know, because if things goes badly with that debt, he's gonna might expect her to go back to work again. You know, and not be a stay-at-home mom, which she paid a lot of money for. That's a concern that I've also have. You know, and the pressure's on, and it's depending on the husband's faith, he might press the wife to go back to work. And then I hate preschools. Sorry, I just can't stand it. It breaks my heart to see that. It's a big challenge for her, but I'm glad the Lord is working in her life. You know, I told her about Rex Verone's wife, how she was submissive with debt, and the Lord blessed them so much, and they didn't even have to pay back any of that debt. It was just to see if she was going to be submissive. That is a wonderful testimony about wives and submission and debt, and she had to submit, but there was no debt to be paid back. It was a wonderful exam for her.
Awesome.
All right. If we can just pray about the situation. I was asking if we can pray for a... Is it possible to pray for a spirit of fear to come on her husband, that he won't accept the debt offer, that he would be so afraid to take the debt I don't know if he must say yes to his parents or no. What does the Lord expect of him?
Well, wait a minute. Does he have the means to pay it off, or would this be something that he'd have to pay through time?
Yeah, he would have to, it's going to be a big thing for him to pay it off. I don't even think, I think they're now also just living day by day with the, you know, if they had to take, he was, you know, there was definitely pay cuts in his salary. His brother, yeah.
I tell you what, Will, why don't you pray, because you know all the particulars and I'm already mixed up, so... You pray, we'll agree with you whatever you pray, okay? Why don't we do it that way? Because I've already gotten everybody mixed up again, so I'm sorry, but we'll agree with you whatever you feel like God wants you to pray, we'll believe with you. And if we come up, if the Lord gives us something, we'll pray too.
Oh, sorry, I got disconnected. So I didn't, I just saw you freeze up and in a most awesome smiley pose. That was the last thing. That's the last thing I got. But it was impressive though. So whatever you said, I'm sure it was good. All right, you know what, Michael, I'm going to listen to the recording.
Okay, look here. Why don't you do the, are you froze up now?
No, I'm good. I'm back online.
Why don't you pray? Because you know all the particulars. It's too complicated for me. My little old Arkansas mind can't put everybody in the right place. So if you pray, we'd believe with you, okay?
Okay. I just want to ask, can I pray for a spirit of fear to come on to Conrad, to just be so afraid of that debt that he won't be able to say yes to his parents? Is that legal?
Amen. Is that it?
Did you get my question? Sorry, Michael. I wanted to know, is it legal to pray for a spirit of fear to come on Conrad? So he would be afraid of that debt. Is it good?
The fear of God is not bad. That's a good thing.
Yeah. So you'd say, would it be a godly thing for him to accept that debt, or would it be bad? You know, would it be wrong?
It's a debt. If he doesn't have the means to pay it off, he doesn't need to accept it.
Okay. Must she be submissive there, or must she put her foot down?
No, she should be submissive. I'm not going to go against the scripture twice. Come on now.
Okay, good. Now I get that. All right, so she must submit. If he decides to take the debt, she must not.
Well, she can, you know, too, he'll listen, won't he? I mean, he's not one of those that, look, I'm the king of this house. You ain't what I say. No, if they sit down and talk about what the scripture says, you know, they probably come to the right conclusion. But she does have to submit. Yeah.
Okay. All right. But if he doesn't listen, then she also submits.
Yes.
Okay. Lord.
And then pray for him. She should be praying for him.
Yeah. Now I'll tell her. Thank you. She said thanks to everyone that answered the previous question. She really enjoyed it. She put awesome in bold. What is it? Italics. And she thanked everyone. Thank you, everyone. Yeah, I just wanted to say that. I just want to pray for her. Lord, this is actually an interesting topic, because I think we're all going to face this down the line. We're going to have running family members all in serious financial problems. But Lord, you wanted this. This is exactly what you're waiting for. And I saw a vision. It's a good vision. It was about all of us being in a storm with our family members drowning, but we're in Christ. So we're so strong, like stones, you know, like pillars in the water. We'll be able to handle whatever they need, in a way, you know. We'll be that strong tower they can hold on to. So it was a good one, and I just I see this happening, Lord, and I thank you that this is exactly the type of things that we can expect to see in these days. And thank you that you've put Maya under a great exam, and it's awesome to see how she's growing in you, Lord, and how she wants to be submissive, because it's about pleasing her King, her Jesus. So, Lord, I just pray over that whole situation. Ach, Lord, I pray that you put the fear of Lord on the fear of God on Conrad, that he will be so afraid of taking that debt that he won't have the guts to take that debt, and that that his parents will also man up and sort out their own debt that they made, and take the responsibility for that debt. It's their debt. They made that debt. They must pay that debt. Lord, that they take responsibility, and that they'll put their house on Conrad's name, and that they will sort out their own debt. And thank you for Conrad. He's an awesome fellow. I'm glad that he's in my sister's life. I appreciate him. And thank you for my awesome brother-in-laws, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for sorting all that out. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Okay, well, we expect a miracle. Okay, Ronnie, go ahead, brother.
Can you hear me?
Barely. Get closer to the mic, maybe.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, much better.
Okay. I don't know if I did the wrong thing or not, but a while ago, I made a promise to someone they could stay here if they needed to. They're having issues with their wife. They came over yesterday. I just want to make it clear to them that I don't want any cussing in my house. So I told them that. Is that crossing the line? Should I not say that to them?
That's your house.
Well, I know, but I mean, I don't want, is it not being weak to the weak kind of thing?
No, you set a standard when you do that, and
okay.
you can do that, you know, and if they start cussing, you can remind them, you know. Okay. I wouldn't get violent with him.
Right. Well, I told him, obviously, he's going to have. My point is, we were talking, and I told him that I'm a Christian now. He didn't know that beforehand. And we got talking. He believes in God. But he said, given the situation he's in, he doesn't even want to talk about it right now. So I just want to pray for him and his wife that she can. So she don't believe in God at all. He does. I want to pray that, you know, she'll find faith, and they'll get their family will be united, and that they'll both come to Christ.
Okay. Does he drink? Does he? Is all of that problem? Does he do drugs or anything like that?
He drinks. He's addicted to tattoos. You know, I don't know. I don't know all the details. I just know they're going through a family crisis, separation, and stuff.
Well, maybe you can talk him into settling down and just talking to his wife and him.
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, go ahead and pray.
Oh, I'd rather you pray. I'm not really good at what
okay. Okay, what's this guy's name?
Justin.
Justin?
Mm-hmm.
What's his wife's name?
I don't know. I never met her.
I don't know. I don't know. How you spell that?
No, I don't
know. All right, let's do it, brother. Let's do it. Lord, I lift up Ronnie to you. Lord, he's a child of yours now, and he's got standards. And Lord, I ask that you place it in Ronnie before Justin shows up to bind the demons on Justin from not coming into that house. And Father, we just praise you that Ronnie has that authority to keep the demons out of his house, and he can bind them up. Because you said what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And Lord, we thank you that when he comes in, he's going to feel God. Because Ronnie's going to have been praying and seeking you, Lord, and I thank you for it. And Lord, I ask and I pray that this time that Justin has with Ronnie would be an awesome time for Justin, that he would see how it's changed Ronnie, because he probably knew him from the past. And now he sees him as a child of God, as a son of God. And we're looking by faith, Father, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, for placing bold faith in Ronnie. And we praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do during this time. And we lift up Justin and his wife to you. We bind up the demons of faction, divisiveness, and witchcraft. And we command it to go right now from that family in the name of Jesus. We command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to go from that family. Father, we ask and we pray that you give Ronnie the words to say to Justin that he would come to you, Lord, in a mighty way, and that he would take it to his wife, and that family would be one of yours, Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you've answered our prayers already. 2,000 years ago, you did that, and we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for giving Ronnie wisdom and the words to speak to Justin. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for both of these men and this woman. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Amen. All right, Ronnie, what do you think? You believe it?
I just want to make one thing clear, though. He already came over. He may not stay with me now because of I'm a Christian. I think I might have scared him away. But
okay.
I still want to pray for him, so thank you.
Okay, listen. Is he coming back to get some stuff?
No, he never left anything behind. He wanted to come and check out my apartment.
Okay.
I told him, you know, but
next time you see him, ask him this. What would you do if you knew this was the last day of your life, brother?
Okay.
Ask him that. See what happened.
All right. Thanks.
All right, Andrew. Pat, you're next. I wasn't trying to. I thought Andrew might have wanted to pray or something. Go ahead, brother.
Actually, I did want to pray.
Great.
I was thinking about what Claire's prayer was there. And I just wanted to join in that. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've given us, Lord, to bring us into one mind, one spirit. Thank you for bringing us into one body through the Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you are greater in us than any in this world. Thank you, Lord, that you have created us, separated us from this world system, and brought us into your secret place of the Most High. Thank you, Lord, for the ark of Christ that you've brought us in, translated us out of the darkness of this world into your kingdom of light. And Lord, we just thank you for your grace that you pour out in our lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word. As I was just reading about in Ezekiel, where you said, Lord, that I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. Lord, I know that many of these verses that we read, that we have a preconceived notion, a preconceived understanding in many ways of what these words mean. And they mean different things for us as we grow and mature and grow up in you and learn new things, new understandings, new perspectives of your word. But Lord, I keep thinking of the words of, I think it was Covey. He said that it's going to take a higher level of thinking to overcome the problems our current level of thinking produced. And Lord, I agree with that, and I'm asking you to make your word real, absolutely real in spirit, soul, and body, and each one of us in the body, Lord. I thank you that you said in the next few verses, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave your forefathers, so you will be my people, and I will be your God. And Lord, again, I know that we look at these verses, and when we hear those words, we think certain things in our mind. But Lord, I believe you want to bring us and lift us into a higher level of thinking about that very specific thing and where we are at today in this world, for you created each and every one of us for this specific time that we're in. You designed and created each one of us with the bents and the talents and the awareness and the desire to know you and walk in your way, Lord, specifically meant for this time that we're in, and specifically meant for the conditions and the reality that we're facing. So I thank you for that, Lord. I just ask that you would open up our hearts and you just put your vision in us to see these words as you meant them to be known. And I thank you for that. And Lord, I even think at the very last verse where you made all these promises, and then you said, thus says the Lord God, this also will I have let the house of Israel ask me to do it for them. I will increase their men like a flock. So Lord, I just ask you to do that. I join with my brothers and sisters tonight to do exactly that. Have your will and have your word perfected in us, Lord, that we might enter the rest and be absolutely free to allow you to work within us in all your desire. And we thank you for it, Lord. We just lift our eyes upon you and look to you to accomplish that which you desire to do within us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, I hook my faith up with Pat and I believe it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Okay. Somebody else. Andrew, you had your hand up. Did you want to say anything?
Well, I just want to pray too. Lord, bring to us remembrance, Lord, of great wisdom and knowledge that you have given us, Lord, that we are not to judge anyone in accordance to the law. We will judge them in accordance to grace. We will speak grace to them and judge them according to that grace. We'll judge them according to mercy. We'll judge them according to the royal law, Lord, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Everybody wants grace, so we should always judge by grace, which could never be by law to a person who is lost, and to give them grace, Lord, and to remember our cross when we're around the world with people also, Lord, to lose our life, to gain our life, Lord, just to keep us in remembrance of all these items that you taught us so well, Lord, that they would be part of our lives, Lord, living is the word of God and active in us. And Lord, that in you we live, move, and have our being, Lord. So Lord, I just pray that you would be there with your Holy Spirit to remind us constantly on these things. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. George, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yes, sir. I'll pray with y'all. I just feel like we're at a time in history where there's such a shaking and a turnover of dominion, like all of the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, and everything that's taking a stand is being toppled. And I read today where China, the government, said to not worship Jesus, but to worship their leader as God or something similar to that. And I stand in the spirit right now with authority over whatever's making that declaration. And I call down mercy for our Christian brothers and sisters, and that God is turning that land over to his people, that there is a revival, there is a spirit of life in Christ Jesus that is reigning supreme in the East. And I thank you, Lord, for our Christian brothers and sisters and those who would be in that land, that they are being protected and that there is a light of glory shining in that dark place, Lord, and that this flood that's happening in that land, that you are flooding it with your glory, Lord, that where the Jesus that the scriptures speak of is taught, that rivers of living water are flowing out of their bellies, Lord, and they are a light on a hill. They are shining bright in China and in the East today, Lord. All of these countries that are coming against and letting the spirits of Antichrist rule, they are being exposed and toppled in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for freedom, and I thank you for liberty and for a time of peace for your harvest. And Father, for all of these economic situations, I thank you that you say that you pay wages to those in the harvest, and that we turn our heads from every idol that comes between us and you, Father, and that we look to you and we magnify you. And as we lift you up and we think about all your attributes and we think about your goodness and we think about how great you are, that you become more and we become less, Father. And that's the glory that is going to draw all men to you, that we're going to keep magnifying you and keep our eyes on you, and that we'll get lost in you, Lord. So, Father, I thank you for the wages, for the harvest, for those that are working. I pray for laborers in the harvest. And, Father, I ask for mercy for those in leadership, Lord. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if you have any of your people that need to be shaken like Saul of Tarsus, Father, knock them off their donkeys and let this be a time for all of those Sauls to get their new name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, George. That was a wonderful prayer, and I put my faith up with that one right there and believe it. In Jesus' name, Lord, let that prayer go throughout this whole world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Did you have something, Claire?
I just have it on my heart to pray for those who have not yet received the revelation of how bad debt is, to accept it. So I'll just say a quick prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word, your perfect word. We know that every verse from the beginning to the end is your truth. And we know that in that beautiful book, Lord, there is nothing there that validates or condones debt. We cannot have two masters. We either have you as our master, Lord, and we graciously do it, and we do it with love and obedience and faith, or we give the other master our love and obedience and faith. And I just come against any debt that is holding people who are supposed to be in this body, Lord, and I come against it in the name of Jesus, and I break that spell, and I pray for a spirit of repentance to come over people. I pray for a spirit of truth to ignite in their hearts and for them to turn from their evil ways and to trust that when they have repented and their hearts are right, there is nothing and no amount that God cannot squash and disappear. He can do miraculous things if we only let him. Thank you, Father, for blessing people. Thank you for getting them out of debt, Lord. Thank you for giving them this revelation. And Father, I pray that when you've got us exactly where you want us, that this bride is going to be spotless and blemishless. There is not an inch of impurity. There's not a tittle of sin. And we pray for everybody who's coming into this body, Lord, to leave that debt behind in Jesus' name. It is not part of the calling for us. It is not part of what we're called to serve. Thank you, Father.
Amen. I believe with Claire and everybody else in Jesus' name. All right, anybody else want to pray? Best prayer or not? Yeah, Denny.
Yes, we have a niece on Debbie's side. That's Debbie's brother's daughter. We just heard from Tammy, the mother, today. Their daughter is, during the COVID time of, you know, being shut down, she got off of antidepressant drugs that she was on, by herself, and she weaned herself off of them. But now she's really battling depression really bad. And so just wanted, you know, a prayer for that. And so we would like to call her ourselves, but her mom said that she's a real more of a private person and doesn't really want people to know about it. So we're going to just believe for our faith to set her free, bind all those spirits and forbid them. And so Father, we pray for Rachel right now. God, I pray you would quicken to her and teach her your promises to her, her throne rights she has and the authority she has, and to recognize where this battle is. It's against evil spirits. And we forbid these spirits. We speak to you right now, evil spirits. We forbid you from depressing her anymore, from bringing these feelings, this anxiety, this rejection, all these things upon her. We forbid you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. And we thank you, God. And set Rachel free, Father, right now. We thank you for it. Father, the tendency to go back onto drugs and try to get back, Father, we forbid that. We forbid these spirits, these pharmakia spirits. Again, we forbid these spirits from intervening and influencing Rachel. Set her free right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Amen, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Is she a Christian, Denny?
Yes, she is.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, Lord, we do. We break the power of depression. That spirit of depression has to go from her right now. In the name of Jesus, we break your power over her, what's her name, Rachel. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, yes. We thank you that she is free. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you, because you're going to get the glory when this happens, because it ain't the medicine that's going to fix her. It's going to be you. It's already been you. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for this supernatural miracle you're doing for Rachel.
Thank you, God.
Even as we speak, we send your angels out there to put a guard around about her, that these demons will leave her alone in Jesus' name. And Father, we just praise you that she's going to be a mighty woman of God.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. We call those things that are not as though they were. Rachel, you're a mighty woman of God right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. We pray for her. Pray for her mom and dad, for Charlie and Tammy. We lift them up, Father. I pray that you would show them the authority they have, and their believers too. Believe that you would reveal this and the authority they're having, that they would forbid this in the name of Jesus. So teach them, quicken them and teach them these things. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for showing Charlie that he has authority in that family. In Jesus' name. Doesn't have to put up with them demons. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You know, amen. That's, go ahead, Sue.
I'd like to pray for Rachel. Lord, I just lift up Rachel to you and ask that you would touch her heart in such a way that she would know that you are there for her, that you love her, that the joy of you be her strength. Lord, even give her a song. Give her a song or a dream or something to show her that you are there, that you, that she has very, all, she has everything to be joyful about because she belongs to you. Lord, let her know that she belongs to you and that you would just fill her up with your spirit. Fill her up with your spirit, with your joy and your peace and your love, Lord God, that she would be able to just enjoy you, Lord, enjoy you. Even when she wakes up and even if she has dreams, that the joy would be there. The joy of you would be there in her heart and in her mind. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I just wanted to share real quick, and this will be quick, I guarantee it. Lord gave me kind of a picture, kind of where we're at now. I mean, I'm not the body here, but where we are at in the world. But anyway, a very simple picture, and that is the picture of a locomotive is like the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit or the filling of the Spirit. But the tracks that train runs on is the Word of God. And without that, you know, many flavors of our Christianity today, they believe that word, or at least their particular versions of that word, and they lay all kinds of tracks, but they don't have any power, any spirit with it. And they become a form of godliness, but deny the power. And then there is a version of our Christianity that is received the Spirit and is overflowing with various different spiritual gifts and whatever, but they don't have the Word of God to lay the tracks of, and allow that Spirit to work and roll through the world and do its work. And so it's like both of them have to be together in order to complete the whole. And I was just, when we were praying for Rachel there, I was thinking of that very, the word that the Lord gave me there before was, I will sprinkle clean water on you, or the word, the clean, the true, real, absolute, pure Word of God. And so that we will be cleansed. They will be cleansed. And I feel that if Rachel's a Christian, she has the Spirit of God. She also needs that word to lay down the tracks and give the Spirit a place to move in her life. But anyway, that's all I want to say.
Okay. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Denny, how old is Rachel? Well, you have to unmute your brother. I hadn't got that reading the lips yet.
Now I got it. Okay. 30, 3-0. She has two children.
Here's what I believe the Lord is telling me to do. Mm-hmm. I want everybody in here to imagine this 30-year-old Rachel in a depressed state. But then I want you to see the Lord reach down and touch her.
Touch her, yeah.
And set her free.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Set her free, Lord. I just thank you. I see it now, Lord. I see your hand coming down. I see your finger just touching the top of her head and setting her free, Father. Praise your holy name, Lord.
Thank you.
I thank you for doing that for Rachel, and that it's going to bring the whole family into the Lord in a mighty, bold way, because she's going to know it's God.
Thank you.
That depression is gone. She's set free, and she's resting in the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for it. I look and I see her now, Lord, just being free and praising your name, Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Rachel, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Ooh, I'm looking for the good report.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Y'all believe that? Yeah. What's the name of that thing? Is it imagination working through faith or something like that? Or faith working through imagination? Oh, I can see y'all are well up on all of these titles. That's okay.
That was both the teachings.
Okay, well, I believe it's done. I do. I believe it's done. Okay, anybody else? I tell you something that I did, and I'm not trying to brag on myself or anything. I'm bragging on the Lord. When I went back to Arkansas, the first night, I ran all the demons out that house. I ran them all out. I ran them off of my property. And I asked the Lord to set up a band of angels around that property. This is the first time that I can remember that I've had peace when I went home. In the 10 years that I've been here, peace while I was there, and productivity in the spiritual realm. So Lord, I just want to thank you for doing that for me and my family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. I should have been doing it all along, but you know how we are.
Michael?
Yes.
Can I share a song?
Well, sure.
We sing this one when we gather together, and I wanted to bring a song that would be joyful, but loving as well. And you know the song and the beauty of holiness? We know that one. In the beauty of holiness, we see you, Son of righteousness. So we bring us all that we possess to lay at your feet. In the place where your glory shines, Jesus, lover of all mankind, you have drawn us with love sublime to make us complete. So I pause at your gates once more, as my heart and my spirit soar, and I wish I could love you more, my God and my King. Is there tribute that I could bring? Was there ever a song to sing that could ever express, my King, the work that you've done? Could I ever conceive of this, all the depths and the heights and breadth of the riches I now possess because of your love? So I pause at your gates once more, as my heart and my spirit soar, and I wish I could love you more, my God and my King. So I pause at your gates once more, as my heart and my spirit soar, and I wish I could love you more, my God and my King, my God and my King. Amen.
Amen. Good old Robin Mark song.
Yeah, he has some good ones.
Yep, he does. Okay, anyone else? So what are we going to talk about tonight? Yeah, Claire.
I feel I don't often ask anyone for prayer. I generally just go straight to the one who can answer it. But I'm here on this forum, and I guess it's on my heart. So I homeschool my kids, and I love them, and it's awesome. And since I've laid down my life for my family, it's my life has just been the sweetest. I can't even imagine. I could wax lyrical about it. I won't. The thing that I would love prayer for, or maybe I can just pray and you can agree with me, is for discernment and wisdom when it comes to teaching or what curriculum to use. Because I feel like there's a whole industry out there that is part of the harlot church that does a really good job at making things look awesome for a homeschool mom like me. And you get so wrapped up in it, but then you spend all this money on the stuff and you have to unteach a lot of it. Or you have to have these critical discussions with seven-year-olds where I feel like, isn't it maybe just easier to like put David on than trying to spend money on all this fancy worksheets and textbooks with pictures and stuff. And I don't want to take anything away from the beauty of learning. I love learning. We're nerdy in this family. We love learning. But I don't feel like 6-hour days are necessary either. I feel like we could readily get this stuff done in like 2.5 hours and spend the rest of the time just being with each other, just enjoying each other, whatever that looks like. But I'm a bit caught up in I don't know, in whatever the world has to offer. So I would love for everyone to just agree that the Holy Spirit will, and the Holy Spirit has guided me so well. So it's not that I haven't done anything without the Holy Spirit. I've really been guided in everything, but I can just see there's this little challenge in choosing the next curriculum. We only start our curriculum in January, or we only start our year in January. I know you guys go, the I feel like I've got three different cultures in my head, South African, Australian, and US. The US starts soon, I think, but Australia and South Africa only start in January. So I've got time, you know, to choose. But the thing is, we've already finished our curriculum for this year. I'm kind of like ahead, and I don't know what to do with this extra time. Like, I feel like God's given me this extra time, these 5 months until December, to do something with the children. And I don't know what that is. And just because you maybe have a budget for homeschooling doesn't mean you necessarily have to use it. But also I'm looking at it and I'm going, yeah, I don't know. I'm confused. And the Holy Spirit doesn't bring confusion. He brings peace. So I rebuke it in Jesus' name.
Okay. You pray. We're believing.
Okay.
Pray behind you if the Lord leads us. By the way, there are some families here that have gone through those things before, and Amber's one of them, and gosh, who else?
Eve homeschooled her kids.
Yeah, Eve did too, yeah.
Did Angelica do that with Isaiah too?
Angelica's doing it now, yeah. Okay. But she's got a 15-year-old she hadn't been doing it long, I don't think, just a couple of years. But Amber has Alexa. She's done her for, you know, her whole schooling time. Is what, Dave?
I was thinking maybe they can all connect up on Zoom sometime and just bust it.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Like, because the only people I know are the only other humans I know on this little island are people who are, unfortunately, right now, part of the harlot or the beast. I don't really want to take advice from either. And I can imagine that it is going to look different for me. And I'm happy to do, like, I'm not a lazy person. I'll do whatever it takes to do the right thing. I just want to do the right thing.
Yeah, I think that would be good if you get some wisdom with other people in the body that do this and gone through it, and then you can discuss some things. That would be a good idea.
That'd be great. So shall I pray, and then we can pray for all of this?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Father, for this beautiful prayer meeting, and thank you, Father, for blessing me with the opportunity to homeschool my children and to teach them in the way of the Lord, and to raise them up as arrows, straight arrows for you, Father. I know that you've got a plan for each of their little lives, and I'm so grateful that I get to watch that unfold every hour of the day. Lord, I'm praying fervently that you will guide me in this process, and you have sent such provision and such wisdom since I started this journey 4 years ago. And I'm just so grateful, Lord, for your love and your guidance. And I pray that those who are wiser and who are further down the road in this journey than what I am would miraculously appear in my life and just give me the wisdom that I so badly crave, because I want to do right by you, Lord. We've only got one shot. There's no dress rehearsal here, and I know that it's not up to me. I also know that you are sovereign in all things, that I would love guidance here, Lord, with a tangible human. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. I know, I can tell you this much, Amber, she's got a daughter that's 15, just turned 15, and she's been homeschooled. And she's so far and away above the people, you know, the kids that are her age, that she's an adult. I mean, she's writing books, Claire, and good books that she has dug into history and dug out the information about the book that she wrote. She wrote a novel and just finished it here recently and put it in. She's not through editing it yet, but I told her, I said, put it up there. Let's read it. Because I've read some of her work, and she's an amazing young lady, I should say, because she's been around adults all her life, not kids. It took her probably till she was 14, something like that, before she actually got out of that kid stage. I mean, she'd hop around like a bunny, you know, and she'd wear these stupid looking little old things on her hair, on her head, you know, like rabbit's ears or cat's ears or whatever, you know. But she's smart. Her mother knew what she was doing. So that would be one that I'd ask to get in touch with you. And I'm sure there's some more. I can't think of them right now. Yeah, Will.
Oh, sorry. Hopefully I didn't interrupt. But I think it was finished. While you guys are on this topic, it just kind of dawned on me. I had a discussion with my sister and her husband on the coronavirus in South Africa. There's a lot of teachers that's getting it, older teachers. So they are thinking about closing down the schools again. My sister was surprised when the school system closed down. She blamed me, my prayer life, for that. she said, yeah, you closed down the schools, now I've got a home school or something like that. I was laughing, and that was exactly the truth. But we were talking about, my sister said, I was visiting them on this last week, and then she was saying, yeah, the Minister of Education, they're deciding, it looks like schools are going to close down again. There's school now every second day with small amounts of children in the classroom. And I told them, you know what? I said, do you want to sort of know what the word on the street is? And when I refer to word on the street is what the prophets are saying. And about schools, because I've got to be very gentle with, you know, maybe my opinion is far different than theirs, and not to offend them. And she said, what's the word on the street? And I said, sure, I'll tell you later. And then she was like, you always do that to me. And her husband was listening, and his name is Albert. And okay, well, I said, you know what, there's a teaching called Flee the Sin Cities, where I think David spoke about schools. And first is going to be this indoctrination, you know, this LGBT indoctrination that they've got going on now. Albert Luckley saw that, and he's aware of what they're doing in schools and what they're brain training the kids. So I was really praying for a long time that they'll take the kids out totally. So I said, you know what? There's a few things that I'd want to share with you, because I know in the teaching David said it's better to take them out, because there's going to be a time that you'd want to take them out, but you're not going to be allowed, which is a hectic warning for those that still, I think if you've got them out, it's going to be better to conceal them from the beasts and stuff like that. But if they're in the school system, it's going to be difficult to get them out once they start. You know, this trapping system the devil does once he wants to pin people down. So I just want to pray that they'll be receptive to David's warning there, and that they'll be receptive to, they might just now listen to this teaching since Maya's advice is on the beginning. So hopefully I just want to pray, Lord, I pray for my family, and I pray for all the kids in our families that are still in the public school system. Lord, I pray that you'll take them out, that you'll take them out for their own benefit, and that their moms and dads will realize that that is not your plan, that is not your idea. The school system is very competitive, very competitive. It's bad training for a child to be trained to be the best you can be. Then it's years of detraining, and it's also all this new moral thinking, or let's call it immoral thinking in brackets, is not good. And I'm very, very worried about my family being stuck in the school system, whereby they won't be allowed to take their kids out of school. That was a very interesting warning that David gave, and I pray for everyone, Lord, that you will work in their hearts. And thank you for closing down the schools and making all the people stay-at-home moms. That was just the awesomest thing I've seen in just such a long time. So thank you for that, Lord. I do appreciate that so much. Amen.
Amen, Lord. I pray that too. That school system is pretty nasty. Okay. All right. Anybody else? I wish I'd have done that. Let me tell you a little story about my children. I've got three girls. They're ladies now, but they're always my little girls. They can still crawl up in my lap, you know. But all three of them have a college education. When they left here, you know, they love the Lord. My youngest one especially. And she got her degree, got married, has two boys, lovely boys. That's Booger Ray and Jude, that's what I call it. But anyway, when she came out of college, she didn't know if she believed in God anymore. The left has taken over the school system. And not only have they kept God out of it, they kept truth out of it. They don't even teach historical truth anymore. They don't teach civics. They don't teach the Constitution. They don't teach any of that stuff anymore. In the schools, in college, it's just craziness what they're teaching. And it takes a lot of prayer. I'm thoroughly convinced that homeschooling is the only way for a Christian couple to get their kids way and above ahead of the public schools. The public schools has been taken over by the left for the most part. Because of the, here's the kicker. They're looking for money. They're always looking for money from the state and from the federal government. And they have certain guidelines that they have to follow in order to get that money. And we have allowed, as parents, we have allowed the left to take over because of the money. And we just don't have time to fool with them, you know. I'm telling you something, but homeschooling, Claire, is the only way to bring those children up in the right way. And everybody, and Theo, and Leo, and all of y'all out, Will, and all of y'all out there that have children. It's the only way to bring them up. There are curriculums out there for homeschooling that are great, that are good. So we'll just, we'll help you get it, Claire. We'll find something. Anybody else that wants to say, yeah, Theo or Alana?
I just wanted to make a comment that really impressed me. I think it was about a year or two ago. I watched a documentary on, I think it was like six English students that came to the U.S. to spend 6 weeks with various Amish families. And they talked about how they homeschool their own children, and they only school them through eighth grade, and then it's basically hands-on being trained by their parents in the special family work that they do in order to bring the bread home. But they said that the Lord had given them children, and that they had chosen to school them themselves because they were not willing to give them away for 40 hours a week to be raised by a stranger in order for them to come home and need to be unschooled again. And so it really impressed me as a young mom who absolutely adores her little toddlers that one day I might decide to give them away for 40 hours a week to be raised by a complete stranger. And will I have the time later to unschool the damage that can be done? I was homeschooled through high school and I hated it. But that was because the wrong method was used. And today, we homeschool as kids, and we certainly look forward to doing the same.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hey, George, I got a question. That's just a question, brother. Is that the name of a curriculum, or is that your rod and staff you're talking about? And is CLE, I'm scared to ask about that one too. What does that mean?
Christian Light Units is what they are, but on the rod and staff, both of them might be like Mennonite curriculum for all I know, but they're time tested and they incorporate a lot of memorization of Bible verses in with math and English and all the other stuff. It's just basically old school learning, and we've got six children. It's very self-initiating, and they grab their light units, they run through them on a daily basis, they finish early, they have quite a bit of, it's a lot of work, but they get it done on time. One of my boys just graduated a year ahead, and we've got them ranging from 21 to 10 years old. We found it to be manageable for me and my wife. And like you, Claire, we didn't have anybody around us that was encouraging or doing it. But like David, we knew he raised a house full of children. He was a pioneer, he and his wife. And that was encouraging for us. When we came upon UBM, that was right at the right time, because we had five children, five and under, and talk about potential overwhelming. We God just helped us flow, and the first three were great readers, so they took it and ran with it on their own. The children memorized Bible chapters and compete with other little groups, and just they've got the word in them. And just today before the meeting, I was asking each one of my children, why did God choose Abraham? And I said, you know, they didn't quite come up with the answer I was looking for. And I told him it was because he would teach his children run his house, his household. And I looked it up again in Genesis 18. It talks about that, says that Abraham would be the father of nations. I don't know if it says because or, but basically it is like a causation relationship where it says that he would be the father of nations because he would rule his, he would teach his children and rule his house and all these things. And I put it on my children tonight that if there was anything they were missing from us as parents, that they needed to make their list and ask their questions and draw that out of us and make us accountable as parents, because God gave them to us. And if we're falling down on holding up our end of the deal, that, you know, I reminded them that that's why God chose Abraham, is the way I read that. And out of a pagan nation, he blessed all the nations. And so I take this role of father and parent seriously, but in their eyes, I hope they think I take it seriously.
Amen, George. That was good. Thank you. I hope that helps. I wish I could go back through it, but I can't, so we just pray. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Denny.
Let's pray for these higher institutions of education and that whole system. You know, it's really the enemy has gotten in, but you know, and the word says that where the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against it. So, Father, we pray for the higher education, the colleges in our country, and the high schools as well, Father. We, as was mentioned, the things are forcing them to believe in all the sodomy and stuff and the transgender stuff and everything else. And we, Father, we bind the spirit of this thing, of this education in our country, in these colleges and in the high schools and the grade schools, bind the spirit of that education. And God, we're asking you to raise up a standard against, that you would raise up a standard at high school level. And we thank you for the homeschoolers. I know they shine above the others, God, because they're in your word. We pray for the grade schools as well, that you would raise up a standard, God, that there would be a place for children and young adults to go to learn, Father, where they would honor you and put you first and teach the word. So we just thank you for that in our country. In Jesus' name, thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Let's see. Phil said, The Big Book of Homeschooling by Debbie Pearl. A book I've considered looking into, simply haven't had the need just yet. Yeah, boy, I've got to grow up a little bit. So there's something you can look for, Claire. It's in the chat there.
Just as a, it's not that I don't think there's curriculum. I know there is. I just want to use what might be as closely aligned to the truth as possible. And I know that's going to be difficult and it's always going to be inferred. You're going to have to think critically and the Lord will give you that discernment. But I think the problem is probably that there's too much out there and it causes this feeling of, well, which one, you know? But I know the Lord's going to guide me and I know we're going to just here in this short little time, I've already received some great gems and ideas and I'm so grateful and hopefully we'll have a chat with more of these people later on in another forum.
Amen. Go ahead, Tim.
I just wanted to mention, Claire, there, you know, there's a lot of curriculum out there. We did our three of our youngest in Washington State, and there was really not a lot of requirements as far as curriculum. And what we found was that even if you didn't teach them anything, they were better off than the kids that went to public school from, you know, all the corruption they were getting there. And one other thing is that, you know, you said you're caught up on your curriculum for the year, but if you have materials available and your time available, and then let the children decide what they're interested in, because when they're interested in it, they can soak it up like a sponge. But if you say, you know, at 9 o'clock we're doing math, and they don't want to do math at 9 o'clock, then you struggle. But if you say, what do you want to do? And they say, hey, let's do math games or something like that, then they'll thrive at it. If it's their idea and they're interested, they can catch up and do really well and thrive because they want to do it, not because they're being forced to do it. But just a couple of things that we came across and seemed to work for our children. So.
Amen. Video games is out the question, right, Tim? That's what people do today. They babysit their kids with video games.
Now, if you take Scrabble and Yahtzee games like Think and Strategize and Learn, Scrabble's a great game for learning and Yahtzee for young kids. They learn to count, you know, don't let them use their fingers. They got to come up with the numbers, you know, in their head. It's a good basis for math.
Amen. Cribbage. I can't even spell it. What is that? I'm just kidding you, Julie.
You not know what it is?
Yeah, I know what it is.
Okay.
Of course I do.
My dad taught me how to play that. Dad taught me how to play that. Yeah, I got to be good enough that I beat him, so that was always fun. But I was using, yeah. You know, that was a math game. That's a math game, and making combinations of 15 and 30 and I can't remember all the strategy, but there's strategy in it as well. So
yeah. That was I don't guess I ever played it. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to talk about? How's it going, Joe Rip?
I'm blessed. I'm in a good place with the Lord now. It's learning a lot. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen, brother. Okay. Anybody got something they'd like to talk about? Barry, how's it going, brother?
Everything is good.
Amen. Everything?
Yeah, pretty much. It's hot. It was 108 degrees yesterday. It's 103 today.
Oh, my gracious.
For the Pacific Northwest, that's getting pretty toasty.
But yeah,
I do have a praise report. We live in an area that's kind of mountainous and lots of rocks that fall down into the road. And once in a while, if you're real lucky, you'll hit one with your car. And I wrecked an oil pan underneath my little Honda Accord and lived with it like that for a while, but it was throwing off the oil level to where it was, you really didn't know whether you were in between the lines or not, because the oil level moved up because the pan got crunched in so much. Anyway, I decided to fix that. And you had to do a whole bunch of work to get the oil pan out, like remove part of the exhaust system and a cross member and take the front wheels off and all this business. It was just amazing for an oil pan. But there's several steps in this, and some of them not successful. But anyway, finally got a gasp in there, got it all bolted up together and ran it, and things appeared to be okay. I looked at underneath it a few days later, and there was a big puddle of oil underneath the car. And it's like, I must have made a mistake with that gasket. It's a very complicated gasket and rather large. So I figured I'd messed up somewhere. So I ordered a couple of gaskets because I was planning on, you know, maybe not having the easiest time with this. And it took them like 9 days to get here, and they were mailed from within about the state we live in. Anyway, they finally showed up. This morning I went out there, I was, you know, got myself mentally prepared and prayed up to go out and tackle this huge project, taking the car apart and getting that pan off again, draining the oil out, all that business. Got underneath the car, and there was a drop of oil down at the bottom of the pan. And I thought, well, I need to figure out where this thing's leaking so I don't make the same mistake again. I ran my fingers all around the pan, and no oil. I didn't feel anything. I couldn't detect where there was a leak. And I wiped the oil off the bottom of the pan and off the drain plug and came back about 30 minutes later. There was a little drip on the end of the drain plug and none on the sides of the oil pan. So the gasket wasn't leaking. The gasket was fine. It was the drain plug that you had to really tighten it down very tightly on this new oil pan. And I not normally do that. I do it by feel, and normally it works just fine. Anyway, the Lord took this huge project, very tedious, out of my day, and allowed me to get underneath there and use a torque wrench and tighten that drain plug down to 33 foot-pounds, and that fixed it. And it, praise the Lord, it was the most wonderful thing that's happened to me in a long time to have that huge burden removed. And I'm very thankful for that.
Sometimes it's the little things that God gets the glory for them first. Not that that's a little thing. I wouldn't want to do it. Amen.
Yeah, they charge $400 to replace the gasket. And yeah, it's a big job. And if you have to replace the pan, they add $100 onto it. So it's $500 that we save by doing this, or close to it.
Amen. Amen. What is worth it? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, there you go. Judy said to pay yourself $500. Amen. Get the Monopoly set out, Mama. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? I want to ask this question. Yeah, Andrew, you go ahead. You go ahead. I'll save this for later.
I got a praise report. The Lord was reading my mind today, you know, being home from work for so long. So my boss phones me and he wants me to come in tomorrow. So that was just nice to have something to do tomorrow. Anyway.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Down here, they're paying people $50,000 a year just to quit work. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. They are. It's just craziness. Okay, anybody else? Rainy Bunch, Harding family. What is that? Okay, anybody got any questions? You know, who was it that came up? I believe it was Claire. Song of Solomon 8:4. Who was that? Last week
it was Dirk and Paula. Dirk and Paula.
So they're not here tonight. Okay. Amen. Okay. Anybody got anything they want to talk about for a few minutes? Yeah, Dave.
I could bring this up. something the Lord kind of gave me a word through a little bit. And it kind of covers a little bit what we're talking about as far as especially praying for the group and about how we're seen in the world and stuff. And there's a couple things here. It's in John chapter 12. I'll start at verse 44. And it says, Jesus came to save the world. That's the title. Jesus shouted out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. So he says, he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light in the world that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone listens to my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me does not receive my saying, has one who judges him. The word that I spoke, the same will judge him in the last day. For I spoke not for myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. The things, therefore, which I speak, even as the Father has sent me, so I speak. And we're talking about being this light, and we want to be a body that can, you know, separate or be different from others. And not that we're trying to be a unique supergroup here. That's not the point. But what we see here with Jesus is even him, Jesus, is talking about why he came into this world and he was sent. He came and he spoke the things that the Father gave him. Everything that Father told him to say, he got it out. He spoke those words so that all could hear what he had to say within his influence at the time. And then he sent his disciples out to do the same, of course. But he also says that he gives you the idea that he has a lot of, if anyone listens to my saying, he says, and he talks about people that reject what he says. And he says that he came to be a light of the world. I have come as a light in the world. And he who believes in me may not remain in darkness. So there's a lot of, you know, people that are going to come to him are going to have this light, and they're going to be seeing what Jesus is, and they're going to listen to it, and they're going to come in this life, eternal life, because his Father said this commandment that he's giving is eternal life. But he also talks about those that aren't going to receive it. Right? We have the two. There's a separation. So I'm just posing this. And if we go again, we can go to Paul, which I read earlier today too, and it was in Corinthians. He talks about in Corinthians 1:9 and starting at verse 19, he says, though I'm free from all, I brought myself under bondage to all that I might gain the more. And he talks about all the different groups that he became like they were in order to be an influence to them. But he says basically also, he says, he doesn't say that he brought everybody into the kingdom. He says he did this so he could maybe bring some into the kingdom. Whatever he had to do, or whatever group he had to be like, he did it so he could bring some into the kingdom that would listen to what he had to say. And Jesus was the same way. He wasn't trying to say, hey, listen, I'm going to make a big difference here and I'm going to bring a lot of people in. He didn't say that. He said, if you believe in me, if, you know, you hear what I have to say, you know. And he says, I'm not going to judge you. The word's going to judge you at the end of the end of the, at the end. So I think I just want to bring that out. We can discuss that, but if you want, the way I see it, even if you are that light and we have that distinction, and we should, we all strive to that. The unleavened bread, the idea of it is speaking as an oracle of God. Mindful of the fact that there's just going to probably might just be some that hear us, not all, some. Because Jesus wasn't saying, I'm going to get everybody to follow me. He says, if you believe what I say. just wanted to bring that up. If somebody else has some ideas about that, or we can go on to something else.
What's the reference?
Okay, I was reading from John 12:44, and then I also read a little bit. I didn't read the whole thing, but I read a little bit starting at 1 Corinthians 9:19 until the end of the chapter. Here we see Paul trying to become whatever it needed to be with whoever he was in order that he might be able to bring some into the kingdom, so he could spread the good news and word. But even then he said some. He didn't say I'm going to bring everybody in. He just said some. He was hoping that he'd bring some. And then Jesus is talking about in chapter 12, he says, if anybody listens to my sayings, he says he came into the world that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. He's qualifying what he's saying. He's not saying, hey, everybody's going to hear what I have to say and just jump on board. So I'm just trying to say, we have to be mindful of the fact if we're being that light, it's still going to be the if and some. It's not going to be everyone. And we should strive to stay true to that light, because we're going to see the same thing happen that Jesus did, that Paul did. We're going to see some come on. We're not going to see all. And I'm not trying to just make a distinguish or judge who is or isn't going to come on board, but we'll know them because they're going to come and stay with us. And the ones that won't stay are going to depart. You know, they're just not going to stay with it. But our job in Unleavened Bread, or at least not that we're trying to make us a group, but is to stay true to the word and speak as the oracles of God, just like Jesus did. He spoke what his Father gave him to say, and he spoke all that. He didn't leave anything out. Our job is to do the same thing, is just to speak as oracles of God and stay true to the word, not adding or taking away. And we will be the light that he chose us to continue on as disciples.
Amen. Yeah, Pat, you got about a minute.
I'll have to pass it up. It'll take a little bit longer, but it's what Dave mentioned that kind of struck something. But I'll maybe let the Lord bring it up later.
We can carry it again Thursday night.
All right.
We can do it again Thursday night. Yeah. Yeah, Andrew.
Maybe we can get that Songs of Solomon one in there too.
Yeah, we can do that. Here's what I had written down for that. Where did I write it down there? Oh. Song of Solomon 8:4, John 5:43, and Psalms 35:23 were the scriptures that were listed that night. And then we've got John 12:44 that Dave brought up, and 1 Corinthians 9:19 through the end of this chapter. Is that right?
Yeah, you could start at 12:44. I actually started at 12:27, but I just started what we were discussing earlier this evening was being that light, and that kind of came out with this, what Jesus was saying.
Okay. All right. Sounds like something to talk about Thursday night. Well, all right, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for directing us tonight. Thank you for answering our prayers, Lord. We glorify you, Lord, because we know that prayers are going to be answered. And all these people we've been praying for, Lord, are going to see a miracle from you. We thank you for it, Father. Be with us tonight. Give us dreams and visions, Lord, of the things to come. And let us remember them when we wake up. Remember every detail. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that when we do wake up in the morning time, getting ready to go for the day, that we're going to be supercharged by your Spirit. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the answering our prayers tonight. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies we're going to hear Thursday. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. All right.